Hello there. I'm Joe Burgoyne, host for Options Talk with OIC. You know, options can be a complex product, but we hope today's show will help take away some of the mystique about it. The Options Industry Council was created to educate investors and their financial advisors about the benefits and risks of exchange-traded equity options. We offer a variety of resources to those interested in learning more about options, including live seminars and webcasts. So here are a couple ways to stay in touch. You can like the OIC page on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at options_edu, and join our group, OIC, on LinkedIn. Today on Options Talk with OIC, we're going to pick up our conversation on option skew and talk some more about the role of volatility in skew. But before we get started, let me state that options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. You should not enter into an options transaction until you have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options. This brochure is available by visiting www.optionseducation.org or by calling 1-888-OPTIONS. To keep things simple, commissions, fees, margin interest, and taxes have not been included in the examples used in this podcast. These costs will impact the outcome of all stock and options transactions and must be considered prior to entering into any transactions. Consult your tax advisor about any potential tax consequences. None of the information presented in this podcast should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice. So let's get started with our discussion by welcoming back Steve Meisinger, Director of Education at the International Securities Exchange. Steve, thanks a lot for coming back on the show.
It's great to be here.
Now, Steve, tell me a little bit about what you do in the at the ISE and your background in the industry.
Well, I spent 20 years on the floors of three different option exchanges. So during that period of time, I saw bull markets, bear markets, takeovers, we take unders, all kinds of different situations. Learned that it's important to manage risk. So it's not just about saying, I have a strategy that has worked 99% of the time. It's what about that 1% that it doesn't work? And how would I actually adjust? So that's why I think that learning more about options is so important.
Amen to that. Well, let's get back to option skew. Now, on last week's show, we defined option skew as a price relationship between options on a stock, maybe an index or an ETF, and then the relationship that they have to one another. And then we talked a little bit about the impact of those options on skew. And then we talked about their relationship to one another and the impact of option skew, some of the implications of that skew, and then finally, what investors can get out of studying and utilizing option skew. We talked about getting back to volatility and talking about what an important component that is. Talk to me some about, you know, volatility and skew.
Well, when you think about options, options are priced based on not only where the stock is or whatever the asset and the strike price, but it's how much potential movement. So you might see one asset that's trading at X and another asset that's trading at that same value X, and the options on one might be double or triple versus the other one. That's volatility, the potential movement. So volatility can be defined in a lot of different ways, but I like to say that most people look at it, volatility is either they look at the implied volatility and the historical volatility.
So give me a real-life example, Steve.
So using weather as a metaphor, you might look at two different cities. So I'll give you the two different cities, and hopefully this really makes it clear about how implied volatility really works.
That would be great.
Well, so if you look at two cities, one might be Miami and one might be Denver. And if you're trying to figure out which one you might need a sweater in or a coat and one that you'd have to take off a lot of different clothes because you really don't know there's going to be so much variance in the temperature, that, of course, would be Denver because at night it might be 40 degrees, 30 degrees. During the day, it could be 80. In Miami, more than likely, it's going to be 80. Very little volatility as far as the temperature during the day. So if we were looking at weather and we were trading options on weather, the Denver options, if you will, would be priced at much higher implied volatilities because there's much greater potential variance in a place like Denver versus Miami. So when you think bring it back to the financial markets, we're really thinking about variance, the potential for movement up or down, and greater variance creates a greater option premium.
Excellent. Talk to me about the difference between those two kind of quickly, historic versus implied.
Absolutely, Joe. So historical volatility, that really measures how much the underlying asset has moved in the past, whether it's 20 days, 30 days. Anybody can define that themselves on the period of time, but that's the actual movement. That's the past data.
Historic volatility.
Historical volatility.
Okay.
Exactly, Joe.
All right.
Implied volatility measures what we're all expecting in the future. When we're trading, we're not thinking of, we might be thinking about the past, but we're trading the future. Supply and demand of an option, we've already talked about how that creates the price. But supply and demand is created by what is somebody thinking? If they're a seller, they might be thinking that the underlier isn't going to move that much. And if somebody's a buyer of an option, typically they think there's going to be more movement. So that's what volatility is. The implied volatility measures what we're expecting versus the historical volatility, which is measuring how much the asset moved over a certain period of time.
And then when, you know, bringing it back to skew, it's that implied volatility that impacts the skew rather dramatically. Is that right?
Absolutely. The implied volatility will, when you think about the implied volatility, it gives us a general sense if people are buying options or selling options, because we can reverse engineer using a simple pricing model to say, what is this volatility today? What was it last week? And then we could get a general sense if it's cheaper or more expensive based on that change in the implied volatility.
Okay. I'm going to go one more with the implied volatility before we move on. Maybe give me two quick points about that relationship between option skew and volatility.
Volatility quantifies option skew. And that's the answer. When we look at, somebody might say, well, where do you get the option skew? Well, it comes from this calculation. So it's a quantified number. Skew is normally calculated, as I said, by using a pricing model, using the implied volatility. Without using the implied volatility, it would be impossible to quantify how much skew there is. We would just say, oh, that option's expensive, that option's cheap. What does that mean? Well, the calculator or the option pricing model, if you will give you the ability to know exactly what the implied volatility, and that measures the skew.
All right, I'm going to throw you a curveball maybe. We're talking models. So we're talking about everything being theoretical?
Right. When you're looking, Joe, at...
That was the knuckle curve, low and away.
Hopefully I can hit this one. Mathematical models are used because we're trying to ascertain what should the option be traded at, priced at, valued at.
Right.
We know that each day, based on how people's perception of the market, that price is going to change. Not only is the underlier changing, we know that, time's going by, but people's perception of how volatile the asset might be is changing. So we look at these mathematical models and they help us calculate the implied vols. But just remember, though, just because an option is either cheap or expensive doesn't mean, and this is something that's very, very important, that just because an option is cheap, that doesn't mean you have to buy it. And just because an option seems to be expensive, that doesn't mean you have to sell it.
Okay. Help me out with this. What defines cheap? What defines expensive?
It's in the eyes of the beholder, Joe. So that somebody might say, whoa, this option used to be trading at a 20 vol and now it's 18. It's very, very cheap. Well, why is it cheap? People's perceptions have changed. Remember, we're talking about risk and reward here. So when people perceive, people, traders, when the traders in aggregation all believe that the market is going to be in a quiet period, volatilities tend to move down. And when we're getting a more volatile period, then volatilities tend to move up. But really, when you think about options, limited risk is very important for the option buyer. They pay more for that limited risk during turbulent times, and they might pay less for it during very quiet times.
That makes sense. Now, do you like talking about this?
I love this stuff, Joe. You know that.
I had no idea. For our listeners, and we've touched upon it certainly, you know, are there a couple key points that you just want to hammer home, when you talk about option skew and volatility?
Couple key points. Yeah, well, number one, skew allows investors to recognize where and when the market is expecting more movement in an underlying instrument. So that's really what the SKU is telling us. The SKU does not tell you, I know this is something that some people believe, the SKU does not necessarily tell you where the asset is going. So just take a step back. Just because there's a SKU in a certain asset, you should not say, oh, then that means the asset's moving up or down. The SKU is going to help you understand how much expected movement might occur in that asset. That's why it's so important to understand this.
I was going to say, boy, that what could be more important than the point you just made?
Well, I think it's so important to understand that there isn't a holy grail here to say, oh, there is so much SKU in asset XYZ and I need to sell the options or buy the options. All it is, remember, the implied volatilities are essentially a market pull. So we could say, oh, the market pull is this today. And if you don't agree with that, that might be a great trading opportunity. If you do agree with it, that might be another trading opportunity. So that's why the SKU is so important.
Now, you're just hitting on some wonderful points. Before we wrap up, how about, you know, an understanding of the implications, you know, when you talk about SKU and then the smile, you know, how does the smile help or hinder investors from making better, you know, trading decisions?
Option smile is a phenomena that it was not created, but it was illustrated looking at something graphically. So if you think of how this smile works, well, if you look at, if you create an axis and you look at implied volatilities and strike prices, the strike prices would be on the horizontal axis, implied volatilities would be on the vertical axis. The at-the-money options tend to have the lowest volatilities, implied volatilities. So that would be at the bottom of that smile.
Okay.
And then at the top, the out-of-the-money options, the calls and the puts, would tend to have higher volatilities. The reason for that, the rationale for that, think of it logically. Options are about leverage. So an out-of-the-money option, in nominal terms, will be priced a little bit lower or a lot lower, depending on how far it is out of the money. That option will tend to have higher implied volatilities because of the limited risk factor of owning that option. And for the seller, they're going to demand a little bit higher implied volatility because they're taking that risk, that obligation that they might have to sell the shares or buy the shares at that specific strike price.
There's more to talk about, but I think we're done for today. Could I ask you, would you mind coming back one more time?
Love to come back, Joe. Thanks.
Fantastic. Well, please come back next week to join Steve and I for more about Option SKU. If you ever wanted to talk to an options professional, call our help desk at 1-888-OPTIONS. They're there 5 days a week to help you answer your options-related questions. Also, visit our website at www.optionseducation.org. There are a ton of tools and resources there to help you better understand options. Do you have any feedback on the show? We'd love to hear from you. So email us at options@theocc.com. Lastly, don't forget about the social links we provided at the beginning of the show. You can like the OIC page on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or join us on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. And remember, a little options education goes a long way.